David crowned king at last. This chapter is based on 2 Samuel 2-5. 5. The death of Saul removed the dangers that had made David an exile. The way was now open for him to return to his own land. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." David and his followers immediately prepared to obey. As the caravan entered the city, the men of Judah were waiting to welcome David as the future king of Israel. Arrangements were made at once for his coronation. And there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. No effort was made to establish his authority over the other tribes. When David heard of the brave deed of the men of Jabesh-Gilead in rescuing the bodies of Saul and Jonathan and giving them honorable burial, he sent the message, "You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness." The Philistines were not upset by Judah's action in making David a king. They hoped that because they had been kind to David, the increase of his power would work to their advantage. But David's reign was not to be free from trouble. God had chosen David to be king of Israel, yet hardly had the people of Judah accepted his authority when Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, was made king on a rival throne in Israel. Ish-bosheth was a weak, incompetent representative of the house of Saul, in contrast to David, who was supremely qualified. Abner, the chief agent in raising Ish-bosheth to kingly power, was the most distinguished man in Israel. He knew that the Lord had appointed David to the throne, but he was not willing for the son of Jesse to come into possession of the kingdom. Abner was ambitious and unethical. Saul had influenced him to detest the man whom God had chosen to reign over Israel. His hatred had been increased by the cutting rebuke that David had given him when the king's jug of water and spear had been taken from the side of Saul as he slept. Determined to create division in Israel by which he himself might be exalted, he used Ish-bosheth, the representative of the previous king, to push forward his own selfish ambitions. He knew that the army had not forgotten Saul's first successful campaigns. With determination, this rebellious leader went forward to carry out his plans. First, he chose Mahanaim, on the farther side of Jordan, as the royal residence. Ish-bosheth's coronation took place there. His reign extended over all Israel except Judah. For 2 years, this son of Saul enjoyed his honors in his secluded capital. But Abner, intent on extending his power over all Israel, prepared for aggressive warfare. And there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. At last, Abner, becoming angry with the incompetent Ish-bosheth, deserted to David, offering to bring over to him all the tribes of Israel. David accepted his proposals, but David's favorable reception of such a famous warrior as Abner stirred up the jealousy of Joab, commander-in-chief of David's army. There was a blood feud between the two men, Abner having killed Asahel, Joab's brother, during the war between Israel and Judah. Now Joab dishonorably ambushed and murdered Abner. When David heard of this treacherous assault, he exclaimed, "My kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab." In view of the unsettled state of the kingdom and the power of the murderers, David could not punish the crime properly, but he publicly showed his shock and disapproval. The king followed Abner's coffin as chief mourner, and at the grave, he pronounced an elegy that was a cutting rebuke of the murderers. "Should Abner die as a fool dies? As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell." David's tribute to one who had been his bitter enemy won the admiration of all Israel. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. In the private circle of his trusted counselors and attendants, the king recognized his own inability to punish the murderers as he desired. He left them to the justice of God. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. When Ishbosheth heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart, and all Israel was troubled. Soon, another act of treachery completed the downfall of the weakened rival power. Ishbosheth was murdered by two of his captains who, cutting off his head, rushed with it to the king of Judah, hoping by this to gain his favor. David punishes the murderers of his enemy. But David did not want the help of treason to establish his power. He told these murderers about what happened to the man who boasted that he had killed Saul. "How much more," he added, "when wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own house on his bed? Therefore, shall I not now require his blood at your hand and remove you from the earth?" So David commanded his young men, and they executed them. After the death of Ishbosheth, there was a general desire among the leading men of Israel for David to become king of all the tribes. They declared, "You were the one who led Israel out and brought them in, and the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.'" Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. So through God's leading, the way had opened for him to come to the throne. The change in the people's attitude was decisive. The revolution was quiet and dignified, in keeping with the work they were doing. Nearly 500,000 people, the former subjects of Saul, thronged Hebron and its surrounding area. The hour for the coronation was appointed. David, the man who had been expelled from the court of Saul, who had fled to the mountains and hills and to the caves of the earth to preserve his life, was about to receive the highest honor that human beings can confer on a person. Priests and elders, officers and soldiers with glittering spear and helmet, and strangers from long distances stood to witness the coronation. David was wearing the royal robe. The high priest put the sacred oil on his forehead, for the earlier anointing by Samuel had been prophetic of what would take place at the king's inauguration. The time had come, and David was consecrated to his office as God's representative. The scepter was placed in his hands. The covenant of his righteous sovereignty was written, and the people gave their pledges of loyalty. Israel had a king by divine appointment. He who had waited patiently for the Lord saw the promise of God fulfilled. So David went on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. 2 Samuel 5, verse 10.